Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'd like to use that first reading out of the book of Revelation chapter 14 as the text, and just to emphasize one verse: fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth. You ever thought of what it would be like, you know, if judgment day would happen all of a sudden? No tomorrow, no this afternoon, just suddenly the call of the archangel, that trumpet call, the command of God. And suddenly the Bible says every individual on the planet would know that the Lord had come. There's no wondering if maybe it was a bad storm or it was an earthquake or something going on. Everybody on the planet will know at that moment what is going on. I don't even know how it works because, you know, it's a round world, so on both sides of the earth, people will look up and know that the Lord is near. Ever wonder what that would be like? I guess you all of a sudden wouldn't be worrying about car trouble or job trouble or money trouble or any serious health issue that you had, because nothing would matter then, would it? All that would matter then was where you were going to spend eternity. All that would matter then is heaven. Well, in a way, isn't that true now? I mean, the real treasure that you have is heaven. And you could lose your health. And you could lose your money. And you could lose your job. And you could lose your home. In fact, you could lose everything that you own if you still possess the treasure of life forever in heaven. Wouldn't you have the treasure of value? So today we talk about the third leg of our stewardship series. Today we talk about giving your talents over to God. And really, what's the point of that? Because does it really matter? I mean, if you have heaven figured out, isn't that the main thing? But here are the words of the angel. He doesn't say, just hang in there till I get back. He doesn't say, keep your head down and your mouth shut and I'll end the world sometime. The news that changes everything, it changes everything. It changes the end of life. It makes the one part of life that is seemingly mysterious totally predictable. I know where I'm going to go when I die. I know what happens on Judgment Day. I'm going to be separated and placed to the right of Jesus where the believers are. That's where you're going to be standing too. And I know what happens when you die too. Angels come and they carry your soul to heaven. There's really no point, there's certainly no sense in ordering the days of this life in any way until you have eternity figured out. If you have questions about where you go when you die, doesn't mean you're a bad person, doesn't mean you're an unbeliever, but it means you need to figure that one out. Come talk to me, read your Bible, see the promise of the gospel. You need to know where you're going before you take another step. Children of Israel were called by God to leave Egypt to go to the promised land. They knew the destination. They didn't know the path. There was a short path to the promised land, and they got there pretty quickly, but God didn't take them on the short path to the promised land, took them on the long path to the promised land. 40 years they wandered in the wilderness, and it would have been a completely foolish journey if they did not know they were on the way to the promised land. As it was, not knowing the length of the journey, but just knowing the destination, you know how they knew where to go and when to go? They followed a cloud that God set before them in the camp. It was a cloud of fire by night and a cloud by day, and God moved that cloud and they followed. Sometimes they stayed in one location so long they could plant and harvest crops. Other times they stayed a day and they moved on. Their job was to follow that cloud wherever it led. It was a journey that only mattered because they knew that someday it was leading to the promised land. Before you do anything else, you need to know your destination. You need to know where you're going to spend eternity. It's why Jesus came. He gave you a connection with the Creator that changes everything and promises eternity. So now you are on the long way to heaven. We know people that took the short way. God had a very brief journey for them, and they were called home to heaven. And many times we grieve because we think they went too soon. We think they went out of their time. They didn't go out of God's time. They took the shortcut to heaven, the short way. You and I, we're on the long way to heaven. So let's think about what we're going to do with that life. What you're supposed to be doing is in the message of the angel: fear God and give him glory. Worship the Creator. You and I, first of all, are absolutely not commanded to be afraid of God. God is the one who promised that if we pray to Him, He hears us. He's the one who promises the free gift of forgiveness. We are connected to a God who is absolutely approachable. It was over and over made clear to us that God designed a room that nobody went to except the high priest one day a year. One day a year. Absolutely empty room. Nobody could go in there. If the priest died in the room, they had a rope attached to his ankle to drag him out. They couldn't go in and get him. Nobody went into that room. When Jesus died, the curtain was rent in two because He opened up access to Him. You have access to God. You don't have to be afraid of God. You should not be afraid of God. You should respect God. You should respect God. I try to think of the altar in some ways as the presence of God. Unless I am not thinking, which can happen. Fortunately, I'm able to talk without thinking, which is dangerous. But I don't set stuff on the altar. I don't put my hymnal on the corner while I'm reaching down to tie my shoe. I put it on the table over there. The altar is the presence of God. I treat it with a certain respect. I address the altar when I step forward, not because I think God lives in that wood, but because I believe we ought to treat God with a kind of respect. You have commandments that you think are the really bad ones. We would say the ones at the top end are the worst ones about killing and about lying and about stealing. Isn't it interesting? The ones God put at the very beginning had to do with treating Him correctly. Don't take His name in vain. Honor His day that He sets aside for worship. Don't have other gods before Him. God calls for us to hold Him with a kind of awesome respect because our God is the Creator of the universe. We're to value worship. Don't let worship become a chore. Use this time when you come to this house to pray. If you are sitting there in the pew and something's bothering you, you're just human, make it into a prayer. If you're sitting in the pew there and you smile because some happy thought comes into your mind about something that's gone on in your life, thank God for that gift that He gave you. If you're sitting in the pew and the light of the sun shines through the picture windows and you think of the change of seasons and the beauty of fall, praise God for what He has done. But make this a time when you work at worshiping God. Everything you hear in church, except this sermon, is an exact quote from the Bible. Everything you hear read over there, read very well by our lectors, it's the Bible. It's the Word of God. The stuff you see in the hymnal, that's the liturgy, every one of those things is a quote out of the Bible. So you are reciting the Word of God. You are hearing the Word of God. Meditate on the Word of God. It has a power to change you. Sometimes when I wake up in the morning, I have a sore back, and I probably should get one of those expensive mattresses that, you know, you can dial the number on, but instead I take 4 ibuprofen. It's a lot cheaper. It's a lot cheaper, so I do that, and it helps. It's amazing. 4 ibuprofen, and I'm just fine. The Word of God is not medicine, but it carries a power to affect you. Hear it gladly. Be here and take the moments that you were here and celebrate what God has done for you, and the power of the Word of God will feed your faith and guide your life, and it will lift you up. The words that describe what you do the rest of the time are in the call of the angel. He said, give God glory. This is not a, and it's a shame we sometimes look at it this way. The work you give to God is not a tax. It is not a fine. It is not a punishment. We spoil our life when we see our connection to God as some kind of membership requirement. I had a man come to me one time who had fears about the end of the world. He was not a church member. I was acquainted with him, but he was not a member of my church. So he talked to me about the end of the world, about not being afraid, and he was baptized in my church and went through adult confirmation class and became very active in the church. He came in one day to tell me a story. He said he was at work, and he was famous at work for one thing. He was famous for being mean. He just was the kind of guy you didn't mess with. And they're sitting there in the cafeteria at work with all the people around there, and a homeless man walks in, smelled bad, looked bad, acted bad, and Joe stood up to confront the man. And Joe's always had the same thing he did with homeless people. He grabs him by the collar, marches him to the door, and throws him out. This time he took a tray, filled it full of food, set the man down, and ate dinner with him. And he said every jaw in the room dropped. And he said to me, that's not who I used to be. The concept of being a follower of God changes who you are. Embrace that change. Be that person. Celebrate the privilege of following after God. To give God glory is not a chore. It's not a thing God makes you do because you're His wayward child. It's a way you get to live your life. So stop trying so hard, all of us. Stop trying so hard to guard your space and your time and learn to be who you are. A sermon on talents ought to be just a celebration event. Ought to look back over the past year and celebrate what we have done and look ahead with a kind of excitement. And I will tell you that I'm not always able to pull that off, but I want to pretend today that I am. I want to pretend that I look forward only with excitement, and I want to pretend that I look back only to celebrate. In the coming days, in the coming year, there will be opportunities for you to give glory to God, and you know what you will do? You will give glory to God. There will be moments in places where someone needs a word, and you will give the word. There will be places where God puts you where someone will need a caring hug or a handshake or someone just to listen to them, and you will be the one, and you will listen, and you will hug, and you will shake that hand because God places you there to be His people. You give God glory when you just follow His will every day. That is why you are here. Most of us know we could be better at it. The thing is, and this is where the marvel comes into our lives. Forgiveness takes away every one of your sins from the memory of God, so you get to start over right now. It's a terrible tragedy, and it's true of you, and it's true of me. Too many times, what hampers our service to God is our memory. We remember failures, and we are filled with regret, and we are sorry for things we have done wrong, and we know we failed so many times before. Your past does not need to be in charge of your future. You need to step away from it like shedding a skin and leave it here in the pew somewhere. Step away from it like a bad habit and go forward into the future that God has designed for you. God knows every one of your flaws and He put you there. God knows every one of your failures and He put you there. God knows every one of your weaknesses and He put you there. What has happened is you have been given gifts which are equipment that you will need when God puts you in these situations. It seems to me that what I'm calling you to do is to surrender to the call to follow where He leads, and then remember, that's who you are. God grant it in Jesus' name. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all of our understanding, guard this treasure we have in Jesus. Amen.